I'm a former school teacher.
And often I was made fun of coming to school because I looked like a pack horse. I looked like I carried bags all over me going into the building. And half of that, I didn't know what it was for. I just thought that's what teachers are supposed to do, carry big bags, okay? But today, I'm so thankful. I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Casey, I thank you for that song. I believe that was from your heart. And I appreciate that song. Appreciate our worship leaders here, our musicians. They really do an awesome job. I don't do this to brag on them, but I will say this. You could go anywhere in the country, you won't find any more passionate and powerful worship. I don't care where you go. I don't care how big the church. You won't find as passionate and powerful worship from these folks. And they worship from their hearts. They play from their hearts. I like them. That's playing passionately. And I appreciate them so, so very much. They were out late last night playing at a venue out there at Camp Bethel. A bikers weekend up there, and they represent a ministry well, and I so appreciate these guys. Amen. Let's give it up for a worship team one more time. All right. Lord, I thank you for your word. Will, I know you've got a lot of hats, buddy. But we got to get together before the service for that thing. Not that I'm trying to be like Garth Brooks, but it's this thing holds me. It's like a chain. It holds me up. I got to move my arms. So I want you to turn in the Word of God. Just remind me always. If I don't remind you, you got to remind me. To the book of John. Thank the Lord for large print Bibles. The Lord bless me that I can get Sister Nadine a Bible with larger print. It's a New King James. There's many. Yes, thank you, my brother. And you know what? There was a time that I didn't even wear glasses. Yeah, your day's coming here. Okay. I'm sorry. God gives sight to the blind, but you know, we still gotta have the spectacles. Okay. Some people. Well, you know, Josh is a young guy here. I don't know. Some of you, you don't have to be old to have, you know, it's just an age thing, okay? It's not some kind of thing other than just an age thing. All right. Okay. All right. It's an age thing. I will say this, and I say this humbly, and I thank the Lord for this. I've even been called his brother before, and he's even been called my dad before. I'm sorry. I just had to put that out there. So, but, you know, it does make a difference when you're dancing in the fountain of youth, doesn't it? Dancing in the fountain of youth. Dancing in the presence of the Lord. God is so good. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. I sense a powerful presence of Jesus here. You know, God's been shucking me like corn. How many knows how to shuck corn? He's been shelling me the last little bit, and he's used my little baby daughter, Jen, because, you know, we're connected to something powerful God is doing in the earth today. And I want to be a part of what God is doing. I don't want to miss God. I don't want to miss the presence of the Lord. Because there's where it is. It's the presence of the Lord. We can have fancy music, we can have fancy lights, and we can have fancy programs, and we can have all that stuff. But you know what? I just want the presence of Jesus. I want the presence of Jesus. That's where it is. There's where healing comes from. There's where victory comes from. It's when the presence of the Lord is preeminated in our midst. That's where things happen. We can't make it happen. You and I can't make it happen. We don't have the intellect, the power, the mind, the ability, the skill. We don't know how to do that, but God does. So today, that's why we rely upon the presence of the Lord. There's something about the presence of the Lord that changes everything. There's something released when the presence of the Lord is magnified, when He is magnified and lifted up and He is worshiped. There's something that is released in the atmosphere. And today, I want us to always be about worshiping God. And the Bible says, worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Worshiping Him from the depths of our inner being. Thanking Him for what He has done for us and what He continues to do. And praising Him and worshiping Him because He is holy. He is righteous. If God did nothing else for us, if He did anything else for us, we have the opportunity. And it should compel us that we worship Him just simply because He is God and He is holy. Amen? God doesn't need to show you His resume. He doesn't need to show you what He's done for you or what He is about to do or what He has done in you. God is God, and besides Him, there is no other. He deserves to be praised and worshiped just because He is Yahweh. He is God. He's holy. He is high. He is lifted up. And when we see that, we look in a different direction. We quit looking at ourselves and we look at this holy God, and that holy God causes us to reflect and look inwardly and see how unholy we are and how defiled we are, because the light of His presence, the light of His glory causes me, it causes me to look inwardly, and it causes me to say, Lord, I've come short. I've messed up. Listen, there's nobody more that's messed up more than this pastor. There's nobody that's made more mistakes in pastoring than I have. There's nobody. Listen, but oh, let me tell you something. When we look inwardly, we begin to look in a different path, in a different direction. Oh, when we lift our eyes and we see His glory and His presence permeates the atmosphere, and His presence is here in a mighty way, like Isaiah chapter 6, it causes us to look inwardly. And that's where change happens. That's where change happens. Only Jesus can change your heart. Only Jesus can change your direction. Only Jesus can change. And today, there's two powerful accounts, and I don't know really what the Lord wants me to do with this, but I'm going to read it. We're going to see what the Lord will do. And if you want to honor God's word, you can, but I'm not going to be religious about it. If you can't stand, you don't have to stand. But in the book of John, chapter 12, there's several instances in the scripture where people were found at the feet of Jesus. Things happen when people were in the presence of Jesus. Today we want to always be found in the presence of Jesus, because He's calling us to a deeper depth and a greater place of intimacy in our life. Intimacy bothers people. There are people that put up walls all the time. You can only get so close in. Then they stick a wall up and you can't get in. Sometimes pain causes that. Sometimes problems in your past, different things can cause the fact that you stick up walls. But today, there is a woman, a special woman to Jesus, who found a way into His heart, found a place into His heart through an intimate moment that she had with Jesus. And what I mean by that is a very close moment, because God wants you to be close. Amen. God wants you to be close to His heart. Guess what? You're close to His heart. He thinks upon you when you're not even thinking about him. Let me back that up and say that again. He thinks on you even when you're in physics class and you're sitting there, listen, stressing out about a test. Guess what? The Lord's thoughts are upon you. He desires to be close to you. He wants to be closer to you than we probably want to be close to him. Amen. So God sets up these moments where he draws us into his presence, and his closeness. Several people in the scripture come to Jesus and found themselves at the feet of Jesus. We're going to talk about one woman today. Her name was Mary. Everybody say Mary. Mary. Because there are Marys in this room here today. And you may be a guy. So don't get messed up because I call you Mary. Mary is the heart that we need to have after God. And so, 12 and 1. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, but is not dead now. Is there anybody in here who has been dead, but you're not dead now? Oh, come on, somebody help me out. Listen, if you'll help me out, I'll get done quicker, I promise, okay? Help me out. So listen, how many in here was dead, but now you're alive? I said you're alive. I said you're alive. You're not dead, you're alive. So he was in the presence of the one who had raised him from the dead. Lazarus was in the presence of Jesus who had raised him from the dead. And there he was in the house. The man who was dead, now he's alive. Now take that home with you. How powerful is that? How powerful is that? So Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. Verse 2, there they made him a supper. Martha was always about the cooking, wasn't she? Luke chapter 10. Every time the Lord found himself at her house, it wasn't that Martha was a bad person. She gets a bad rap, by the way. But Martha had this thing about service, and she felt that she could get close by cooking. And there's a lot of people who think that we can get close by cooking. We love to cook. All right? So hang in here with me, okay? Everybody say okay. So she made a supper and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sit at the table with him. So there were people in the room, and this room was a special place. Then Mary did something that is so powerful. Everybody say, get ready. Mary did something that was so powerful. So anointed. So unusual, so different, so out of ordinary, so out of ordinary. And she had the Bible says, let's continue to read. She took a pound of very costly oil, a spikenard, and she anointed the feet of Jesus, and she wiped his feet with her hair. Then the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why wasn't this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. Jesus called Lazarus a thief because he wasn't really caring for the poor. He was the one who took care of the money. And the scripture said he had the money box and he used to take what was in it. So he wasn't worried about the close proximity of Jesus or this woman or her sacrifice. He was concerned about the money. But Jesus said, let her alone. She's kept this for the day of my burial. And Jesus wasn't even in the grave yet. So Jesus was prophesying. It'd be like somebody coming up you and said, I want you to check out your new coffin. I just got you. Okay? So here was this woman who came to anoint Jesus and he hadn't died yet. And Jesus saw into it what was it about and the worth of it. And he said this, she's done a good thing. She is preparing for my burial. And this woman didn't even realize what she was doing. Let her alone for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you don't always have. You may be seated. Amen. 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 Can somebody say amen to God's word? I want you to flip with me. The same story written by two different authors, Mark and John. The same thing written by two authors. How many knows that two different people can get a different meaning or a different picture out of the same story? Anybody here knows what I'm talking about? For instance, if I ask after this service, if I ask you to give your interpretation of this service, no matter who I chose, both of you would use different descriptions and use different language and, you know, different personality to describe that same incident, although it may sound a little bit different. And that's what Mark did. So in the 14th chapter of the book of Mark, if you have your Bible, the 14th chapter of the book of Mark. And so we have Mark's interpretation of the anointing of Bethany. And both of these authors, both of these men were disciples and followers of Jesus. In verse 3 it says, "And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper," verse 3, "he sat at the table. A woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil and spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head." Here one is saying, John said, she anointed his feet. And here Mark says, he anointed her head. And I read this one thing, and this one author said, well, maybe she anointed his head and maybe it run down to his feet. I don't know. But the fact is, doesn't matter, she anointed him. She anointed him with a very costly perfume. And then the Bible said, "But there were some who was indignant about among themselves and says, why has this fragrant oil been wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply." Amen. How many knows that when our effort is pure and our effort is right toward our worship for God, if it really is, then somebody's going to always criticize you for giving God your all. Somebody's going to criticize you for giving God your best. What Jesus was saying here, that this woman did everything she could to give God her best. She worshiped Jesus with her all. She served the Lord with her all. And not saying that Martha, her sister, didn't serve with her all, but there was something special about Mary. She had something special with the Lord. The fact is, her gaze, her heart, her life was fixed upon the Lord. She had devoted herself to always be found when he was present, to be found at his feet. And Luke 10 says she found herself at his feet, often just hearing the words that he would speak. She was amazed. She was mystified. She was nearly, tranquilized by the powerful words that Jesus spoke into her life. And it resonated in her actions, because the week before Jesus would go to the cross, she had no clue. She had no clue the things that were going to transpire, the things that were coming down the pipe. She just found an opportunity to be in the presence of the Lord and worship God with all of her might, with everything she had in her. She didn't hold back. And you know what? She was devoted to that. She was devoted to that. She was devoted to that powerful place of being in the presence of the Lord. The word devotional comes from the word devoted. And I know we've been emphasizing a lot about being with the Lord throughout the week. Finding times where you can be in the presence of the Lord. Finding times where you get to hang out with him and get to hear his word. Amen. Think about that. That book you hold in your hand is the words of God. It's inspired by holy men of old. It is the written word of God. It is the word of God. It is Jesus. Jesus said, oh, you've got the word, you've got me. How many knows that? So today, it's an awesome thing when we get to sit today at his feet and hear his word. You know what? When we sit at the feet of the Lord, the Lord's got something he always wants to say. Amen. He wants to say something. He wants to speak something into your life. And I shared little pieces of this before, but back in 1990, God began to deal with me. He began to shuck the corn again in my life. He began to tear away all the hardness, all the things that my life had been about. What religion and not having freedom necessarily from my past, and a poor interpretation of what the love of God was. I was in a place in my life that I needed the Lord desperately. And God began to take me on a journey about his presence. And listen, things begin to happen in my life as I begin to go after the Lord with all my heart. I begin to desire God. I hungered and thirsted after him. Do you know the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, for they shall be what? Filled. Amen. Listen, when you go after God with all your heart, your life is getting ready to be filled with passion and fire and excitement and joy. Nobody has to pump you up. Let me tell you something. I have a problem when we come together at this opportunity to be in the presence of the Lord and serve God or to worship God with all our heart. There's a little bit of a problem I think the Lord has with people who have the opportunity to hang out in his presence, and you have to be cheerleaded on to even listen, lift up a shout to Jesus. Amen. This is about Jesus. Amen. I said this is about Jesus. Amen. How many knows that your life should be about Jesus? So, here it was. And on this journey God began to take me on, I began to take things, let go of things in my life that were insignificant, important, like titles, name, and all those kinds of things. I really did. Not that I was a person that was bragging and boastful and walking around with my chest stuck out and, you know, bragging on myself. I didn't have this, but I had this inward pride thing going on. It did matter to me what people thought. And I can see that there is a degree of significance to that. We don't want our righteousness to be evil spoken of. That's what Paul said. We want a good report, but it's not about reputation. I let it go. I let the titles go. I let the ordination papers go. I let all that. And I let the reputation I had in the particular denomination go. Not that I had done anything wrong or I had done this or I had done that. I was just tired and sick of being a fake and being a phony. I wanted the real Jesus. I wanted the real presence of the Lord in my life. And I'm not saying that I didn't do good things before, but what I'm saying is I was just hungry for God, and God awakened in me an insatiable appetite for his presence. And I couldn't read enough about Jesus. I couldn't talk enough about Jesus. I couldn't think or dream enough about Jesus. Listen, it was about his presence, and I learned things in his presence that I will never ever forget. I'll take them to the end of my days of those moments in those times where God drew me into his presence. And that's where I want him to keep me. But how many knows that sheep have a tendency to stray a little bit? You know, it won't hurt you to shake your head, even though you don't want to say amen. How many knows it won't hurt you to shake your head? I promise you, it won't fall off your shoulder. Wake up! Hallelujah. Whew. So this lady devoted herself about being in the presence of the Lord. And she had this opportunity to be in the presence of the King to worship Jesus. And she did something significantly important. She did something incredible. She did something amazing. She did something that would not only change her life, but change the atmosphere of where she was. It would change. So what this lady, Mary, everybody say Mary. Mary did something. She broke open her life before the Lord. The word that's been stirring in my spirit all week long is broken. When we think of brokenness, we think sometimes of bad. And God does heal the broken heart. Bad, you can get a broken heart. Things can be bad about that. You can be broken by life. You can be broken by your sin. You can be broken by your transgressions, by your problems. You can be broken. But let me tell you something. It's a broken heart before the Lord that finds His grace. Sometimes you've got to break it open. You've got to bring your heart. I heard Josh say a prayer just a minute ago. Break our heart. Do we mean that prayer? Do we mean it? Then what we understand, like the song, the verse of the song, break my heart, Lord, for what breaks yours? She brought herself, and I remember what the psalmist David prayed in the book of Psalms, chapter 51. I remember what, in verse 17, if you have your Bible and you want to flip, you want to write it down in your margin of the Word of God there, if you want to, or on your notepad, whatever you're writing on. He says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Broken means contrite. Contrite to the direction we were walking in. Contrite to the mentality, the way of thinking that we're about. How many knows that sometimes we have to deal with stinking thinking? So God has to break us apart. He has to break us apart. Have you ever been broken before the Lord? Have you ever been broken before the Lord? Have you ever been broken before the Lord? Have you ever been broken apart where God, where the inside of your life, the things that mean and matter to God, the things that are really about God, the things that have to be exposed. It's hard for people to be broken apart. It's hard for people to be naked before the Lord. But there is a powerful thing about humility that we all need to learn. It's humbling yourself before the Lord. It's bringing yourself. Quit worrying about your reputation. Quit worrying about being cool. Quit worrying about what this one thinks or what that one thinks. When you stand before the Lord, I promise the people you think are worried about you, amen. I'm saying they won't be there. So what matters is your heart toward the Lord. The sacrifices of the Lord are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, oh God, you won't despise. These things are acceptable in your sight. When we break open our lives to the Lord, this is what this woman did. She broke it. She poured out all of it deliberately. I've heard these songs and these takes on these songs like broken and spilled out. And sometimes that song refers to the Lord. The Lord didn't spill anything out. He poured it out. Amen. He didn't spill a little grace on you. He didn't spill a little this on you because it was an accident. Jesus allowed himself to be broken. He allowed himself, even though no bone was broken in his body, he allowed himself to be humiliated. He allowed himself to be made a spectacle as he worshiped the Father, which is in heaven, and prepared himself a living sacrifice unto God. He was broken, but he didn't spill it. He broke himself and he poured you upon you his lavish grace. And somebody ought to shout right there. 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 Turn to somebody and say, you ought to shout about that. I said, turn to somebody. I don't care how cool. Oh, I love to mess cool up. Amen. We've got this mentality in this world we live in. We've got to have it all together. We got to be cool. Be transparent with the Lord. Humble yourself before the Lord. Break open your life to the Lord. And that's what she did. You know what they say? This is a botanist. We got a science teacher in here present right now. Is that Mr. Monty there? I don't know if you're a botanist or not, or a chemist, or whatever. But in the world of botany, there's some flowers that are beautiful upon the earth. I know there's a lot of beautiful flowers upon the earth. Wow, man, there are beautiful things upon the earth. But you know what? The most beautiful part about that flower is not what you see. It's the fragrance and the aroma that it releases when it's broken apart. You won't smell the rose. You say, well, I love to smell the roses. Before you can smell a rose, it's got to be broken. Before you can smell the awesomeness of this fragrance that we're so blessed with, sometimes you got to break that thing in order to release that fragrance. Some of you here need to be more about breaking your life open so the fragrance can get out. So the fragrance can get out. So the aroma can get out. You were made for so much more. Don't stay in the junk you're in. You were made for so much more. Don't you think God will take care of it? If we are devoted to God, if we love God with all of our heart, if we come, don't you think that God can't take care of the things you think you can't take care of? So here she was in this opportunity. Can I borrow Jesus? I need to borrow Jesus. Everybody hang with me just a minute, okay? Hang with me just a minute. Can I borrow Jesus? Who lift your hand and say, I'll be Jesus. You know that. Thank you. Thank you, Will. Those are some big shoes to fill. Is everybody still with me? I said, is everybody with me? So you're seated. Simon. All the other disciples were sitting around him. Oh, I know, Dale. You're shy as a... Sit down there. You don't have to say. Just sit down there. All of his disciples. Jody, I'm so proud of you, man. This is Jody's 1-year birthday in salvation. Amen? Isn't that awesome? You see, Dale, If I wanted to be some kind of lying prophet, he said, how did you know that? I could have prophesied over him and said, but you know what I did? I said, your wife told me. So you're up here around the feet of Jesus. And they were eating. They were dining. They were hanging out. Having a good time, man. Wherever Jesus is, you're having a good time. Why do we think like hanging out with Jesus is a bad time? Why do we think that it's awful to hang out with Jesus? Man. Besides being in heaven, I'd rather be here right now. So here they were. And then Mary. Mary, I don't know who's got real long hair. Take your hair loose. They didn't have them little thingy bobs put on people's hair back then. You got to understand this, Mary. This is a serious word right here. And God's going to speak into your life. God's going to speak into your life through this word today. It's time for you to let all of that go and embrace the cross. Embrace the fellowship and follow Jesus. Devoted to Him. That's a powerful word. Devoted. That means dedicated. That means committed. That means dedicated and committed to follow Jesus. No matter what the cost, no matter how many friends it's going to cost you. If it costs you a friend, get ready here. If it costs you a friend, they never were your friend anyway. You don't need those party friends. You need the party friends. You need Jesus. How many knows that we need Jesus? We need to find ourselves in another party. We need to find ourselves in another company. We need to find ourselves in the presence of Jesus, Yeshua. So here was Jesus and his friends hanging out at Bethany. Here Mary was, her sister's servant, Martha, always distracted by many things. That's what the scripture said. She was, but she loved the Lord, and she was doing a service for the Lord. But she just wasn't into what her sister was doing. And everybody's not going to be into what you're doing, friend. Can I say something? Everybody is not going to be into what this ministry is into. And we want to give honor for what we do in this ministry. Don't you think that that's not primary in my heart? But more importantly than me answering to you is the fact that I answer to God. How many knows the final thing is the final thing? And I'm going to stand before Him and give an account to the Lord. So I take serious what I do. That's why I'm in your grill a lot. That's why I aggravate you a lot. And some of you get aggravated. Some of you won't answer you. Now you're pointing that you don't answer your text anymore. That's all right. I'll keep knocking. I'll keep knocking. Watch out. God's going to send an angel to your house. He's going to send the Holy Ghost to arrest you to get all your heart. That don't cost. That's it. That's extra that won't cost. Let me say this. She came and she knelt. Can we have Jesus right here in the middle so we can see? This is significant. We had a little low-rising table. We would, but they're not tables like we have today in our modern times. They're not tables with tall legs and big chairs. Everybody came and they set themselves at this low-rising table and they laid or leaned on a cushion and they put their feet out behind them. And here was Jesus at this moment, hanging out with his friends, Martha serving. But here Mary came, and she had a costly perfume. It cost her. I don't know how. Neither does theologians know how she really got that, how she afforded that. Some says that the family of Lazarus was really a little bit wealthy. I don't know how Mary personally got a hold of the scripture. Don't say how she got a hold of this costly spikenard, but it cost her something. Worship will cost you something, friend. Following Jesus will cost you something. If you're only in it for the fish and loaves, if you're only in it for what you get out of it, sooner or later, you're going to get tired of that. Those tokens are going to run out. You've got to understand to follow Jesus will cost you something. It will cost you something. It will cost you your reputation. It will cost you sometimes your personal agenda. It will cost you your friends. It will cost you things in this world. But this woman, she was bent upon doing something that was extravagant. Everybody say the word extravagant. She brought a pound of spikenard, which is equivalent to about $50, which is a year's salary for any common working man at that day. A year's salary. She brought something worth a year. No wonder Judas was saying. No wonder the others were saying, this is a waste. No other religious voices were saying, this is a waste. There are people today saying what we're doing is a waste. Why waste your time on those inmates? Why waste your time on those drug addicts? Why waste your time? Why waste your time, listen, on the homeless? Why waste your time on these and those? Why waste your time? Listen, you know why? It's not my time. It's God's time. And Jesus said to reach them. Amen. Reach them. Reach them. So sit to the side. She broke it open. She broke open the flask, the box. She broke it open. John says, he put it on his feet. Mark says, she anointed his head. Regardless, she poured it on the Lord. She poured all that she had. You know this, I like this. It broke out. It broke open, so that means all the content came out. This is the way we do the Lord sometimes. We give the Lord by measuring spoons. We give to the Lord with a measuring spoon. Listen, I'll give you a little of this, Lord, but I can't give you any more. I'll give you a little of this, but I can't give you any more. Listen, God didn't measure his love toward you with a measuring spoon. On the cross, he poured it all out. He poured it all out. I said he poured it all out. That ought to make a dead man get out of his casket and shout hallelujah. I know I get passionate. My veins pop out. They've been doing that for years. I get excited. Because I want you to see this. I want you to get this. I don't want you to go home and with another thing. Good service. Good sermon, Pastor R. I'd rather see change in you than hear all the compliments and hear all the words. I'd rather see God doing something radical in your life. I'd rather see God turning your world upside down. I'd rather see God putting a hunger and thirst in your life so great that nothing else mattered around you. 1991, that's what happened in my life. There was such a hunger in my life for God and his presence that it didn't matter what people thought about me. It didn't matter. I'm not saying that it doesn't bother you. It bothers me. People lie. People do this. They do that. They don't have all the information. They just blah, 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 blah. You know, things like that does bother me. But I wonder if they bother the Lord more. I said, I wonder if they bother the Lord more. So she broke it open. And she poured it deliberately. She didn't spill it. She poured it out upon his feet or his head. Depending on which author. She broke it and poured it all out. There wasn't a drop left in the box. Think about that. Can I ask you a question today? Is there anything left in your box today? Hang on here. This is important. Is there anything left in your box today? You say, Pastor R, won't you preach us some about heaven? Won't you preach us some about this? Make us feel good so we can shout real good. I do want you to shout. And I'm all about shouting. I'm all about the feel good. But I want you walking passionately after the Lord. Thank you for the one amen in this room right here today. Thank you, Lord. I'll take it. I'll take it. So the question, are there any drops left in your alabaster box? Have we done all that we know to do? And this is after she was criticized. This is what the Lord, and we're winding here. This is what the Lord said to those who were criticizing her. Criticizing her. God sees your body language. He sees your thoughts. He sees how you act and respond when certain people are being blessed. Let me rewind it. I said, God sees you. That person shouldn't do this, or that person shouldn't be about that. That person don't deserve this. Listen, we don't any deserve that. We don't any deserve the Lord. We don't any deserve grace. We're not into the Lord because we deserve Him. We're into Him because He is gracious. He's merciful. He's kind. He's generous. He poured everything into us. So she poured it all upon the Lord. She poured it all upon the Lord. There was no drops left. And you know what? This is what Jesus said, Grant. Jesus said, you're criticizing this woman, but this woman did all she could. That's what it said. She did all she could. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. When it comes to our worship to God, do we give God all of our worship, or do we hold back? I'm worried about what they think. Oh, here we go again. I worry about what they think. I promise you, if you're in trouble and you need somebody, a lot of times those people that you think are worried about what you think won't be there. But Jesus will always be there. I said Jesus will always be there. Rick, he's going to be there. He's never going to leave you. He's not going to abandon you now. He's not going to jump out of the ship now. He's with you. He's a lifer. Jesus is a lifer. He's committed to you. He's dedicated to you. He's about you 100%. He didn't keep anything or hold anything back from pouring you or lavishing you with extravagant love from that cross so long ago. So I'm asking you a question. And you know what? This is a powerful thing, and I saw this and I thought this was pretty good. The Lord doesn't judge us on the basis of what we've done. And we get caught up in that. It's on the basis of what we've done. We're all caught about that, right? Sometimes we worry about what I do. I don't know if there's anybody else here. But sometimes I get caught up on there. Lord, I failed you. Lord, I failed you. Lord, I messed up. I had this wrong thought. Or I should have done this. Listen, God doesn't judge us so much on what we've done, but more on what I could have done. Listen, your weightier judgment will be as a child of God, not what necessarily you've done, that's under the blood, but what we still failed to do and giving God our all in our service and our worship to the Lord and being dedicated and devoted to Him. If you're dedicated and if you're devoted to the Lord, you don't have to worry about a lot of stuff that we seem to get all messed up and worried about. We don't have to worry about that. God's going to take care of that. What could I have done? That's our greatest sin. I haven't done, but what I could have done. There are times in my life today, I look back and reflect on my life. There are things that I could have done better. Is anybody with me today? Are there any real people here today? Maybe you've done everything perfect. I don't know. You could have done everything perfect. You may be good at everything you've done. But I look back on my life and there are things that I had done I wish I could have done better. Or I wish I had done, but I didn't do. I left undone. Does anybody relate to what I'm saying today? Are there anything in your life you wish you could have done better? Are there things that you wish you could have done better? Guess what? You have this opportunity today to worship God, to hold nothing back, to give Him your all. And the Bible says she did all she could. Do what you can. She did what she could. Do what you can. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. We never will be perfect. But do what you can. That's important. Do what you can. She's done a good work to me, Jesus said. And she did all that to please the Lord. Let all that we do be about pleasing the Lord. I was caught in the trap of performance at one time in my life. That means jumping through hoops, doing things to please people and please men, please religion. And it bound me so tight and it constricted me so much. It was like a boa constrictor tightening around its grip around my neck, choking every bit of life. So I said, God, I'm tired of this. I want a real relationship with you. I don't want my life to be about pleasing people. And guess what? God every now and then has to shut my corn because my life cannot be about pleasing you. If you think a pastor's job is to please you, then somebody's got something else coming. Amen. But a man's ways please the Lord. That's who we should worry about pleasing, is God. Don't please your neighbor. Don't please this one or please that one. Guess what? You never will. Some of you men in here can't even please your wife. Oh. Some of you women in here can't even please your husbands. You know I'm telling you the truth. Don't look mean at me. Don't look bad at me. Like you say, ooh, I can have Pastor Hart right now. No, you're not. I know you're not doing that. We've got to please the Lord. Our worship's got to please the Lord. Our music's got to please the Lord. I hear people all the time leaving the worship service. I didn't like that music. Guess what? It's not about you. It's about Him. Amen? Ask yourself this question. When we come in here and our worship leaders and whoever prepares the worship lead you in worship, as Casey said, what we should ask is, God, what can I do today to please you? What song can I sing to please you? What word can I give to please you? What message can I share to please you? I am not going to pass around a popularity poll right now. You missed that one. Do what you can. That will please the Lord. Do you hear that? Do what you can, and that will please the Lord. You say, I can't do much. I don't preach. I don't sing. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't stand up in front of people. I don't do that. There's a lot more to worshiping and serving God than being up in front of people. It's the things that are done every day in this ministry that people don't get accolades for. Everybody thinks that what I do is glorious. Let me tell you the realness of that. If you want to know the realness of that, meet with me after the service. I'll tell you the realness of that. I love what I do, but it's difficult what I do. Because I've got to please the Lord. She pleased the Lord. She did all she could, and it pleased the Lord, and it struck a chord in His heart. Caused Him to reflect upon what she did, because she broke open the alabaster box and she poured all the content of that alabaster box upon Him, and he received her worship that day in the company of those who were quick to criticize and ridicule her before what she had done. Today, her sacrifice, her gift, her worship, her devotion was without limits, without boundaries. She lavished Him. It was unreserved. She didn't hold back. She didn't hold back. I talk to people all the time who say, Pastor Arm, I'm holding back. I'm holding back. Listen, until the coming of the Lord, why don't we dedicate, commit our life to totally being all in and pouring everything out upon Him? Sister Betty, I've always looked at you as having a Mary spirit, because I believe you're doing what you can, and you're doing it to the Lord. You're worshiping God. Not a lot of people whose life was compromised by a disease would be so radical in their pursuit of God like you are, and relentless in your pursuit of just worshiping God. You didn't have to get up the other day and preach. You don't have to get up here and lead worship. But the Lord saw you up here just a while ago. Listen, jumping up and down when you didn't hardly have strength in your body to do it. God saw that. God sees what you're doing. God sees your heart. That's the most important thing, my friend. It's what comes out of here, not what comes out of what can be seen. But what comes out of here? Extravagant. Wow. It became extravagant when she realized that this is what she must do. This was what was in her heart to do. So she gave her all. She didn't hold back because she knew her Lord had so graced them. Do what you can. Do what you can today. Worship. You're not perfect. I miss God sometimes. I do. But don't you think God knows that? I miss God sometimes. He tells me to do something, and in response, I should be obedient. But guess what? Sometimes I'm not obedient. Is there anybody else in this room that sometimes are not obedient when God prompts you to do something? But you know the times, no matter how little and how minute and significant they were, it was all about the obedience. Just like Brother Rob was telling me a while ago, it's all about the obedience. It's about the obedience. It's not about the big things. It's about obeying God in the little things. It's about doing all that you know how to do and doing it obediently as unto the Lord. There are those times in your life that you, what you did seems so insignificant, so crazy, so stupid, so ridiculous. What am I doing? Do you realize? Do you realize, my friend? Well, man, I appreciate what God's doing in your life. Don't you appreciate this young lady and what the Lord's doing in her life? Cassie, it's like that woman, it seemed ridiculous to her. First of all, she was a woman. And in her day, she was off limits. Bobby, she was out of bounds. She was out of bounds because she was in the presence of these men doing something ridiculous. Showing herself. Pulling her hair down. How many knows that women did not pull their hair down only in the company of their husbands? But she wasn't worried about protocol. She wasn't worried about the restrictors of the law. Some of you got restrictor plates on your praise. I just felt that right now from the Holy Ghost. Some of you got, you know what a restrictor plate is? It robs you of horsepower. Some of you need to take the restrictor off and go full throttle and give God everything you got. Quit patty caking with Jesus. Quit patty caking with Jesus. She shouldn't have had her hair down. She shouldn't have been in the presence of these men. They had to take the outside area of the worship. They had, that was off limits to them to be up here in the presence of men. They were sort of the second class. The people in here today feel like second class. No, when you fly with Jesus, you fly first class all the way. Amen? All the way. Man, woman, boy, girl, child, doesn't matter. When you fly with Jesus, you fly first class. They'll not Pan Am or if that's United or whatever. You fly first class when you fly with Jesus. So she was doing what people said she shouldn't do. Those obedient, those little things that she went and did anyway. And God blessed her. And because of what she did, she not only did what she could, but she did it then. You got to see this. Jesus made reference to that in verse 8 where he said, this woman is anointing my body for burial. And he wasn't even dead. So it's not just about now. It's about later. When I see these kids right here, these, and I've seen them on YouTube or wherever they put them on images. I'm sorry if it wasn't on YouTube. But I've seen these little whitey kids. I've seen them dance before the Lord, worship before God. When Emma didn't think she was going to be on the planet anymore, I saw these kids step up to the plate and do battle. I've seen some of you all today in a powerful place in your life. It's obeying the Lord and doing those little things and doing it right now. Everybody shout now. Your life ought to be a dedicated and, listen, devoted to God now. Now. What are you doing now? She did did all she could. She did it now. She did it now. Casey, I believe you're doing what you can in middle school. Are there more things to be done? Yes, there are more things to be done. Dakota, you know what? You're going to make a rock star pharmacist. Thank you, Casey. But you know what? That's not what God called you to be. Is that surprising to you? That's not what God called you to be. God called you to be a worshiper. He called you to be a worshiper. And guys, in order for us to really get our worship on, we got to break some things loose in our life. We got to break some things open. And that's the fact. You want to get close to God, God's waiting on you. You know, God's already moved. How many know He moved? He moved on the cross. Now God's waiting on you to move and break something loose of your life and pour the contents out and lavish Jesus with all your heart. I'll be honest with you, I don't have time for anything else. We don't have time. A broken box. Do what you can now. Do what you can now. But her life and her sacrifice and her gift to the Lord, lavishing Him with everything in her. This is what's going to happen to you and me in our life. John says it this way. When she poured the content of that flask out upon the Lord, some of it dripped down. She thought, wow. She didn't have a towel. She didn't have a towel up Pastor R. She didn't have a towel, Willie. And she had the best thing she had. She took her hair down. She took that hair that was probably slung to the side and she pulled it back to her front. And she took the oil that she had put on his feet and she began to dry his feet. The same powerful fragrance that was on his feet suddenly got into her hair. Jesus. Have you ever been to Long John Silver's before? Have you ever walked outside Long John Silver and listen, walked and got in the car with somebody and somebody look at you and say, Rick, you've been to Long John Silver's. You've been to Long. How did they know that? Listen, nobody told them, Bobby, they've been to Long John Silver. You know what? What changed this woman? What she took away from that moment, she took outside the room. And when that worship was released, the whole atmosphere was filled with the fragrance of that aroma. Amen. It changed everything. It changed everything. Oh, I feel weak right now. Oh, Jesus. I feel. Oh, Jesus. We need to take the weightiness of the aroma outside these walls. Listen. Look, people's lives be changed because of what they see and what they smell and what they experience about our own life. Amen. Moses come down from the mountain from the presence of the Lord. They had to put a veil over his head. I'm not trying to be funny, Will. They had to put something over his head because his glory, his light was so prominent. And they said, this man's been with God. I want when people walk out this room and you walk into the Walmart this evening, I don't want you to walk into the Walmart, that little cashier that they're shaking in her boots because Christians don't have it together on Sunday and chewing her out one side and down the other side because of some mistake and she's not responsible for it. I'm not saying walking into a restaurant and demanding from that little waitress something that she gets paid $2 an hour for. And listen, she didn't make the mistake. What God needs to see is people walk out of this room and walk into the highways and the byways and look, people see the prominent glory of God upon you and know you've been in the presence of the King. Hallelujah. You've been in the presence of the King. When you leave this room and you're having pastor for lunch, you've not been in the presence of the King. quiet. Cold prickles. When you're chewing somebody else out at the counter, you're not been in the presence of the king. When you're fussing with your wife, I've been there. Fussing at her, not with her. Lord, forgive me. Kathy, you are more deserving of me sometimes. We're in the presence of the king. We're in the presence of the king. Do you get that? Do you get it? We're in the presence of the king. We're in the presence of the lover of our soul. He's calling us. He's calling us. Will you come? Say, Pastor R, I'm a little concerned about Lost Creek up there. We bit off two more than we could chew. Oh, the God that I serve is bigger than what you're looking at. Amen? If we will be about that, God will be about all that He'll be about. Amen? So the fragrance she poured upon him got into her, and she left. The whole room was filled with aroma. You guys did an awesome job. Thank you. Didn't they do a good job today? Thank you, Greg. I promise you this. I promise you this. I don't mean to sound critical. I don't mean to sound like mean, and it's definitely, God knows my heart. It's not in the spirit of meanness. It's in the spirit of meekness. But sometimes we just got to wake up and we got to break our lives open before the Lord and pour the content of our life out before the Lord and quit measuring to the Lord with a measuring stone. Appropriating pieces of your life to the Lord with a measuring spoon. Give Him all. Give Him all. Give Him all your worship. Give Him all your praise. Give Him all your service, just like Martha did. Give Him all your Martha. Give Him all your service. You're not going to be perfect, but if you'll do what you can, God makes up all the slack. Amen. If you do what you can, God will make the slack up. I feel the Holy Spirit today say that He ministered to several people in this room right now. So I want you to bow your head. And you know what? We can do this 1, 2, 3. Everybody come to the altar. There's nothing wrong with that. But God's concerned about people today just simply breaking your life open to the Lord. And just bringing and lavishing Him in an extravagant way. And just pour yourself out upon the Lord today. Don't hold anything back from Him. Don't hold anything back. You have an opportunity. You're standing in the presence of the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's revealed Himself to you through His Word. Through His truth. And that truth is hard, because I have messed up in this room more than anybody in this room. I'm not saying that. You think I'm just saying that. I've messed up more than anybody in this room, I promise you. But it's not about that. God poured His all on you. He poured His all on you. Be like the little man in John 6. Be like the little boy who had nothing but a few loaves and fish. And they needed this powerful miracle to be done. And there was no food, no time to go back to the city to get what they needed. And the little boy just came and he just gave his all. He said, here's a few fish and a few loaves. And he gave them and God blessed him. God can only bless what you give Him. Let me say that again. God can only bless what you give him. Some of you say, well, I don't feel blessed. Have you done all you can? So if you're here today and you need to lavish the Lord, you need to pour something out upon the Lord today to simply worship him. And you can do that in numerous ways. You can stand to your feet and do it right there between you and the Lord. Or if you want to go maybe a step further that you think is a step further and come forward, I promise you we're going to release you and let you go as soon as you hear. It's not my goal just to last to 1 or 15 to 1 or 10 after 1. It's not my goal to do that. God has said a lot here today. And I hope you listen to the content of what he said. If you're here today and the Lord spoke to you, I know he told us that he did. If there are people here today in this room that the Lord specifically spoke to about an area of your life, you just simply raise your hand with mine. Raise your hand with mine. That's all over the room. All over the room. Keep them raised. All over the room. All over the room. All over the room. All over the room. All the room. Be honest. That's the only way God can help you, friend, if you'll be honest with him. He knows you. He's not out to get you. He's out to help you. He's out to help you. He's out to bless your life. Not deduct from your life, but he's out to bless your life. If there's somebody else right here in this room, be honest right now. How do you know when you walk out of this room today that you'll ever have an opportunity to come back again? Let's get real right now, friend. Let's get real. So how many will be real with the Lord? Simply keep your hand raised in the air. I know if you're tired doing that, just switch arms. It's important that we just lift our hand to the Lord right now and acknowledge him. God knows who we are. God knows who we are. Have you done all you can? If you haven't, let's slip our hands up right now together before the Lord. You see, I've got my hand raised right now before the Lord. I've got my hand raised right now before the Lord. I haven't done all that I can. I haven't done all that I can. I haven't done all that I can. And if you're here, you say, Pastor, I'm embarrassed to raise my hand. You got to get over that. You got to get over that. You got to get over the being embarrassed and being, you know, this and being that. You got to get over that. Let's be real with the Lord right now. I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you to do something in a second. I'm just going to ask you to bring your alabaster box, and I'm going to ask you to pour it up on the Lord. And because you raised your hand or didn't raise your hand, that doesn't mean. If you didn't raise your hand, that doesn't really mean anything necessarily. Maybe God's still dealing with your heart. Maybe you're going to come and pour out your alabaster box. But I'd like to do a song. I don't know what the song is. I wish you could do that song, Betty, but I don't know if you can. I'm going to sit at his feet and worship the Lord. I don't know if you can do that song. If you don't want to do that song, you can't do that song, that's fine. But I just want us right now to take a second to pour out your alabaster box to the Lord right now. I just want you to take a second. You know what we're going to do? This is what we're going to do. We're not going to cut and dry this. Come to the altar, pray a minute, and then just leave. You can go. When God releases you from this altar, you can leave. Okay? We're not going to dismiss. We're not going to dismiss. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. What we're going to do is I want you to bring your alabaster box. I want you to bring your heart and break it open before the Lord. And when we count to three and we all stand to our feet, that's all I'm asking you to do is bring your alabaster box. Okay? 1, 2, 3. Right now. Bring your alabaster box right now. Bring your alabaster box right now. Bring your alabaster box. If you can't get at the altar, then come and gather around this. Come gather. Do everything you can. Do all you can right now. Do all you can right now. Do all you can right now. Do everything you can right now. Do all you can right now. Do all you can right now. Come on. God's calling. God's calling. God's calling. God's calling. God's calling. God's calling. Bring your alabaster box. Break it open before the Lord right now. Pour out the content of your heart. Pour out the content of your spirit right now before the Lord. And say, God, I want to give you my all. I want to please you, Lord. I want to please you. I want to please you. I want my life to be lived in such a way that I please you, Lord. I want to please you, Lord. I want to please you. I want to please you.